Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Move that out of the way so we don't get a bit of reverb. Good to see you. You all okay? You're back for round two. Well done. We're going to think about anxiety this evening. The power of anxiety. Isn't anxiety a powerful emotion, feeling that can dictate our life and our thinking? So before we do it, let's just pray as we begin our time together, and then we'll sing. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, as your people, but Lord, we come with each, Lord, with our own vulnerabilities and weaknesses, Lord. And so we look to you tonight to strengthen us, Lord, to equip us, Lord, for the days ahead and the days and situations, Lord, that we live in. So we pray tonight, Lord, that you will speak Holy Spirit power and words of life into our hearts tonight, Lord. And give us hearts to come and praise you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we've got no music team tonight, but we're going to sing off the screens. And we're going to sing that lovely song, Lord, I Need You. Let's pray again. Father, how easy, in one sense, those words roll off our tongue. I need you, I only need you, Lord. But yet, Lord, if we truly mean them tonight, it will actually mean everything to us, Lord, in our lives. And so, Lord, it is a blessing if we see our need of you. And so, Lord, we come tonight knowing, I hope, Lord, that we need you. We need Jesus. And so, Lord, increase in us, Lord, that desire to know you more, to need you more, to want more of you, Lord, in our lives. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, come and fill us up with your power, with your joy, with your life-transforming power. And Father, as well, we can't go on tonight without remembering the horrible tragedy, Lord, in South Korea. And Father, it's hard, Lord, to find the words, Lord, for that. Lord, we pray that your peace will come amongst the pain and overwhelm it, Lord. And somehow, Lord, people will find you in the tragedy and the despair. So pour out your blessing and peace, Lord, there at this time, Father. And Father, there may be others, so let's just be quiet for a few seconds as we bring in our own hearts people that are on our minds right now. Thank you, Lord, that you hear the cries of our heart and that you have the power and you are working the purpose, Lord, to answer our prayers as you see fit, Lord. As we come to your word in a moment, Father, we pray that this will be a good night for us this evening, Lord, and that we will be fully satisfied and blessed by what you have to say to us, Lord, tonight. And so we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, now I was smiling to myself at about 10 to 6 because I don't know how, this has just dawned on me, but we're in Philippians tonight, aren't we? And we're going through Philippians in the morning. And that just hadn't twigged in my head, so I apologise for that, but there'll be no crossover from this morning. But we're in Philippians 4 this evening, and we're going to read from verse 4 through to verse 9. And I'm just going to give some kind of sketchy, scattered thoughts. I don't know if you grew up in church, that was like a phrase that preachers used when I was younger. Tonight I'm going to bring a few scattered thoughts from the word. Do you remember that phrase? Yeah? Some things never leave you, do they? So Philippians 4, this is God's word for us this evening. And this is what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Anxiety. I think this is a good time to talk about this because anxiety is something that's affecting the whole nation at the moment, isn't it? We have financial anxiety because we have a cost of living crisis, don't we? We have health anxiety that is a hangover from COVID, but COVID's still happening. But there's a health anxiety, isn't there, that didn't exist perhaps so much as it did maybe 4 years ago or so. There's a political anxiety amongst us, isn't there? With Ukraine going on, and it's been a weird time with our government, hasn't it, over the last sort of number of months. So there's a political anxiety about, you know, how's everything going to affect us and our lives? Yet when we read Philippians 4, what do we see? We see that God's word states, do not be anxious about anything. Paul loves these statements, doesn't he? This morning we were looking at, in everything you do, don't grumble. Yeah, he loves these big, bold, all-encompassing statements. But yet we have this statement here, do not be anxious about anything. And I think as we start out, it's important for us to understand this word, do not be anxious, what it really means. And the original meaning behind this word is this idea that anxiety, it pulls us in different directions. It drags us around in different directions. You know, we're pulled one way by fear, and then we get pulled another way by hope. And this is kind of how anxiety works. And this is the real meaning behind the word. Someone once said that the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. So what do we do when we're feeling anxious, really anxious in an overwhelming sense? And how can we deal with it? Well, there's a few things that we can do, but the way I want to look at this tonight is I want to look at what anxiety can do to us. That's why I've called this the power of anxiety, because it does do things to us, sometimes visible things. And there's a power of anxiety that affects us. So the first thing I want us to look at is this. My anxiety means I must take control. I must take control. And think about anxiety in this way. Imagine if you have children, and if they've grown up, imagine when they were younger. Imagine if they were so worried about family life that they took over the home. Just imagine that for a moment. Imagine the carnage of that, yeah? Like, it would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Because everything would be compromised, wouldn't it? Food, money, would they even go to school anymore? Work, would work get done in the house? Would there be any authority in the house? What would happen to the wrong stuff that goes on? And the reason why I use that is because this is what anxiety can do to us. Because we try and take control of what God is in control of. Have you noticed that anxiety can make us very controlling people? Why? Because control is how we think we can guarantee peace for ourselves. That's why it does that to us. But actually, ultimately, what is anxiety? Ultimately, anxiety is a vote of no confidence in God. That's really what anxiety is. And if we use our house metaphor, then God is the Father in the house, and we are trying to take control of it because we are anxious. But God actually clearly directs us to to trust him and find peace as opposed to anxiety. And in verse 4, you'll notice that Paul twice says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And we looked at rejoicing this morning, so I won't go into that. But finding our joy in the Lord. Satisfaction. Remember, rejoicing is satisfaction that makes us happy and glad. Finding our joy in the Lord is like finding the pivot and the balance in our life. And this is actually one of the antidotes to anxiety, finding our joy. So, you know, how can I let God take control when I'm anxious? Well, how we do it is by surrender to him. You see, we long for the presence of the Lord, and we do that by pouring our hearts out to him. We enjoy then the presence of the Lord by living our lives righteously for him. And then the next thing, the second thing is this. My anxiety means I become less spiritual. My anxiety means I become less spiritual. Now, silly story. I don't know if I've told this story before, but when I was younger, I used to play cricket with my sister, my younger sister. We were like primary school age, about 15 months younger than me. But when we played cricket, I had a rule given to me by my parents, which was we must not play with a cricket ball. And I've got to tell you, I found that rule very annoying. And I really wanted to play with a cricket ball. Now, looking back, it was silly to play a cricket ball because the wicket we played on was like, the stumps were like here and the other stumps were probably only to that door. So to play with a cricket ball would be very dangerous. And I was haring in thinking I was a fast bowler against my poor sister. But it used to really annoy me, actually, and used to kind of stress me out that we couldn't play with a cricket ball because it wasn't a proper game of cricket. You know, we had no pads or gloves or anything, but it didn't matter. So one day, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to play with a cricket ball. Just one over, that's all. Six balls, six attempts. Sent my sister down the other end. Don't worry, be fine. And I went right to the other end of the garden for my run-up, you know. And bowled the cricket ball. What happened? Hits a stone, rears up, smack in my sister's head. First ball, and I was found out. There was no getting out of that one. But kind of my stress, my anxiety at not being able to play properly, in my view, play the game properly, it just ended in hurt and damage, didn't it? And it came about by bad, wrong thinking in my mind. Irrational thinking, selfish thinking as well, I guess. But actually, this is the anxiety-driven believer. So overwhelmed by life and problems that they have to try and deal with it themselves in their way, in their timing. And the result, what is the result of that? It's like a cricket ball hitting a head, an eight-year-old's head, hurt and damage. You see, the anxiety-driven believer is in danger of losing their spiritual mindedness. And it's easy for us to get caught up, isn't it, in the fear, the same fear that this world suffers with. But actually, for the Christian, it's different, as Paul highlights at the end of verse 5. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. This truth should help us to be more spiritually minded. The Lord is near to us with his presence, but he's also near to us in his return. So we have that hope. And you see, what we need to watch out for is this. The world lives in fear because the present is all there is. That's the problem, if you like, with anxiety that is just driven in sort of worldly wisdom. But the believer lives with hope because the Lord is near in his return. The believer has assurance because God's presence is in the present, isn't it? That's the good thing. God's presence is in the present. And then thirdly, another power of anxiety. Strange title, really. My anxiety is the antidote to my anxiety. Yeah, you might know where I'm going with this. Funny story. There was a husband. He asked his wife, he says, look, why are you always worrying? It doesn't change anything. And she replied, it does, because 90% of the things I worry about never happen. It is possible, I think, to convince ourselves that worrying is essential to our survival, isn't it? Yeah? Have you ever, you've convinced yourself of that, yeah? Worrying is essential to my survival. It's possible that we hold on to our anxiety because if we don't, who will worry? Who will worry if I don't worry? But actually, in verse 7, Paul says something that is really helpful and really encouraging for us. He said, you know, in verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, prayer with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the key words here that we just need to grab onto are surpass and guard, or transcend and guard. Because it's interesting that the Greek word for surpass is hyperecho, like hyperecho. And the meaning here is something that transcends and is better than anything else. There's almost that echo sound that echoes over everything, louder than everything. And what Paul is getting at here, what he's trying to get at to this church at Philippi, is that God's peace surpasses any other perspective of the human mind. Because the human mind, the mind that has not come under the grace of God, if you like, the mind that doesn't know Jesus, the human mind is shackled by anxiety because it cannot think higher than itself. That's why this peace of God transcends, surpasses. And so, when we pray, as Paul is telling us to, as an antidote to anxiety, when we pray, it's an expression of our trust in God, isn't it? And it's an expression of trust, not because God answers and says yes to all our requests. No, it's different than that. Peace comes because, as God's people, we don't have it all figured out, do we? Because we know that God is in control. That's why we trust him. His peace transcends the human mind. His peace transcends the human fear that the present is all there is. But there is like this additional blessing on top of that, on top of this peace that Paul talks about. Paul says that this peace will be guarded. And again, the word guard, it's this actual Greek word, is a military term. It's a military term. It's like a garrison that guards against a siege. It's a really powerful picture. So the peace of God, Paul says, is the garrison of our hearts that guards us when anxiety tries to lay siege on our hearts. And how does this peace guard our hearts and minds? Well, it's in Christ Jesus. Look at the end of verse 7. We'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus. So when letting go of our anxiety feels dangerous and reckless, it's then that we need to cling to Christ more. When we look at Jesus, we can face anxiety by realizing actually we don't have any reason to doubt the might and the mercy of Jesus. Why? Because he gave his life for us on a cross. He rose again to make all things new. We don't need to doubt the mercy and might of Jesus because he's an unrelenting advocate praying for us. He left his Spirit to comfort and guide us into all truth. We don't need to doubt the mercy and might of Jesus because no one loves us more than he does. So just to wrap this all up then. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, I'm going to be slightly naughty and make a poetic license on this now. It is a command, and it feels like a command, doesn't it? And it feels like a really hard command to follow. But I don't want you tonight to just think of this as a command, because we just set ourselves up for a big fail, don't we? I want you to think of it as an invitation, not as a command, as an invitation. I want you to think of this as an invitation to come and find rest in Christ. We find our rest in Christ because God never leaves us alone to try and follow Christ, does he? He always resources our obedience through the riches of the gospel. Isn't that incredible? Just think about that. God always resources our obedience through the riches of the gospel. We don't need to be anxious about anything because God has taken care of everything in Christ. So here's some takeaway thoughts for you this evening, whatever it is you're feeling anxious about. We don't need to be God, we need to trust God. We don't need to rest on our good works, we need to rest in Christ. You don't even need to wait for peace after the storm, because God promises it in the storm. We don't need to cram our minds with cares, but cast them onto him. And we don't need to console ourselves with our own anxiety, but what we need to do is seek his joy-producing presence. Let's pray. Father, I ask you that we would find rest in Jesus this evening. There's that really old hymn that says, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. Lord, I pray that that will be our song tonight. And Lord, we know that anxiety is something that more than touches us all. And so, Lord, I pray that these words, these strong words from Paul in Philippians, would not be a millstone for us tonight, Lord, but actually they would be an invitation for us to come and cast our care and our burdens on Christ and find our rest in him. By your Spirit, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, I just want to pray this wonderful truth over us all this evening. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, I pray that will rest in our hearts tonight. Jesus' wonderful name we ask. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing just one more as we close. I've chosen this song, it's a bit of a special song to me actually. Just in the last sort of few years, I used to listen to this song a lot. I didn't know what God wanted me to do, or if, like, where did he want me to go when I finished college? Did he really even want me to be like in pastoral ministry? How on earth could that be a possibility? And I just used to rest in the words of this song. So it's a bit of a selfish choice tonight, but I hope you'll enjoy it. So we can stand and sing it together. A bit emotional at the end of both services today. One, because I hope we've seen just a glimpse today of just how beautiful and wonderful Jesus is. And it's an obvious thing to say and a thing to say for any time, but I'm just sensing that we really need to cling to Christ more than ever. And so to him I leave it all. Let's take that. Let's take that in the biggest way we possibly can tonight and into this week. And so, Lord, we thank you that we have you. Oh, Lord, it sends a shiver down us to think of our life without you, Lord. And we're so glad, Lord, that you came down to rescue us. And we are so in awe, Lord, and grateful that you died on a cross for us, Lord. And you have given us so much, Lord, that we don't deserve. And you've withheld so much, Lord, that we do deserve, that is not good. And so, Lord, I want to pray those words over us, Lord, and if it's for someone tonight, which I believe it is, and so to him I leave it all. We will not go wrong if we trust you and you alone. And I pray that is our prayer, our spirit, our desire tonight. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.